Our scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Would you please stand, either in body or spirit, for the reading of the scripture? Hear these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God bless the hearing of this scripture. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Water is never quite the same when the presence of Jesus is in the midst. We see that in the River Jordan from our gospel reading this morning. It is a place where people are coming to hear and to see John the Baptist and to be baptized by John, but it becomes, in the presence of Christ, living water. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And we see that water is never quite the same when the presence of Jesus is in the midst. Now, baptism has always meant and signified many different things, which is why it's one of those sacraments of the church. It is a rite of initiation into the kingdom of God. Baptism involves repentance. And when we baptize infants, we ask the parents who present the children for baptism if they earnestly repent of their sin. Baptism may signify washing and cleansing. It is an entry into the family of God as a son or a daughter. Being loved and accepted by God, anointed and baptized by the descending Spirit, it is spiritual empowerment for life. It has many meanings. The Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus in Matthew's gospel signifies Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the promised servant of Israel, as we read in Isaiah the 42nd chapter. It signifies the beginning of Jesus' public ministry and the dawning of a new age. And all this happens with water and the presence of Christ. And in Christ's baptism, we see our own through fresh eyes. Because through Christ's baptism, we are buried, immersed in death, and we are raised in new life. And in baptism, we don't become messiahs like Christ, but we become messengers and witnesses to the Messiah. As we see and we hear anew, we realize that our spiritual senses are heightened by water. And baptism enlivens those spiritual senses. Through baptism, we see, as Jesus saw, the Spirit's descent like a dove and hear the voice from heaven. Just as the heavens are opened, baptism opens our eyes and our ears to see and hear God. It opens us to the possibility of a new reality every new day. And as that water touches our skin and washes over us, our foreheads, our arms, we are made aware of something different. And when we realize that this is the love of God, we see that a whole new world is open to us, and we want nothing but to rush to its powerful waters. Some would dive into it, seeking that living water. You may have seen this video online of a Baptist church where they have the baptism font down front, and the children who've gone through confirmation in that church are seeking to be baptized, and they step down into the baptism font, and the pastor lowers them under the water and brings them up, and it happens one after another, and then it stops, and the pastor looks around and waits for the next kid to come. And out of frame comes this blur of a 12-year-old child cannonballing into the baptism font. And water goes everywhere, all over the chancel, all over the disgruntled pastor with a frustrated look on his face. But the joy in that child's eyes tells you all you need to know about creating cannonball baptism. Some people want to jump into the life of God, and others would run from it. Just like a child who doesn't want to take a bath at night, even though they've been outside playing and are covered from head to toe in mud, parents have to force or coerce their children into getting clean. Water is not always enticing. Water can even be dangerous and deadly. We watch over our children when they're near open water because we know of its power. Hurricanes and tsunamis create floods and destroy homes and entire towns. When the waters rise and people run, they are climbing higher and higher, pleading to be rescued, waving their hands and anything they can get hold of just to scream, "Help," because for some, water is a threat. And still other times, water is a treat. Water is a precious commodity where there is drought in places like Australia, where the country is burning because of severe drought. Water is prayed for daily in the form of rain. And in the winter, when your pipes freeze at home, you realize how dependent you become on that little turn of the lever. And when things thaw out and return to normal, you're all of a sudden grateful for running water. And when you're parched, a cool drink can be as good as salvation, because we thirst not just for the physical water, but for the living water, which is why in the church people run to the water of Christ. We run to the water where Christ is because we know that he is the one that can quench our spiritual thirst. Just as Jesus told the woman at the well, "Those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become to them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And we, when we come to baptism, presenting our children or under our own will, we come like that Samaritan woman at the well, who simply says, "Give me this water." We come like John, who says, "I need to be baptized by you," because when water is mixed with the presence of Christ, it is not just water. It is living water, a fountain flowing deep and wide with love. And as we see in that story in John's Gospel, the fourth chapter, with the Samaritan woman who was living with five husbands and now a sixth, she was thirsting for love, but she was really thirsting for the love of God found in baptism through the living water. Baptism is many things, but most importantly, it is a sacrament of love. It is an outward sign of an inward and a spiritual grace. It is water flowing with love to quench our human desires. And when God speaks at Jesus' baptism in Matthew's gospel, we find out just how much God loves Jesus, just how much God loves the whole world. And through the baptism waters, God demonstrates God's love for us by bringing Christ and John to the Jordan River, to the place where salvation is made possible, by opening up the heavens and the Spirit descending like a dove, and God speaking so that all may hear his love for his Son. And through baptism, we see the ultimate promise God makes to us, that we are children who are loved by God. Love will not be silent. So God, like a proud parent, broadcasts to the whole world the fact that this is my Son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And when God speaks, we realize that love cannot be contained when it is real. It has to be voiced and signified and expressed and shared. And baptism is God's promise to us that we are loved. And we find those words at the end of our reading for today. Bring everything home. Bring everything to a climax when Jesus is hearing the words from God. I am well pleased with this, my son. Remember, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, not at the end. When we baptize infants, we do at the beginning of their life because it is God who is working through them. When we come to baptism, it doesn't matter what we've done, what we've bring, our titles or our accolades. We bring ourselves in order for God to say to us, just like he said to Christ, I am overjoyed with you. And so we see God's story play out in our own lives. And when we receive the waters of baptism, we would do well to ask the honest question, what am I going to do next? We may feel that we have to ask that question because so much of our lives is beyond our control. But we remember in baptism that God makes everything new, and it starts with God when God says, I am pleased with you. It starts sometimes with water, but it always starts with God. Because God calls us with the words, my beloved child. God calls us as the ones who made for us a reason to live. And God calls us as the one who will never leave us or forsake us or abandon us. While we may ask the question, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do from here? What am I going to do with my life? I think we would do well as followers of Christ to ask the more interesting question, what is God going to do next? Because God created you, God created us, and in baptism God makes a covenant with us, so we are invited to stay close to God, to communicate with God through scripture, through prayer, through wise and truthful friends, through worship, through our presence, through our study, through the cross, and to remember the role that water has played in our life. Because water is never quite the same when the presence of Jesus is in the midst. Water tells us about our identity, about the love of God. That we are beloved. Water reminds us of who we are and whose we are. One of the issues facing those who are homeless and find themselves in harm's way or on the street is addiction or mental illness. And oftentimes when you find yourself on the street in need of shelter, you have to have some valid form of ID. But people who cannot remember where they were born or what hospital they were born into have a hard time obtaining those forms of identification. And they might find themselves desperate to find out who they are. There's an agency working in Washington, D.C. that works with those who are struggling with those questions of who they are and trying to get their identities and their lives back on track. And unsurprisingly, they found a way to reach out to these people to help them trace their roots to their churches, where they were baptized, not because of a baptism certificate and not because they were baptized in infants and they can remember it, but they were nurtured in the church and they remembered where they experienced God's love in their life. And so hundreds of people are finding their identities in their secular world because of their spiritual identities in their church. Not because they remember their baptism, but because they remember the communities of faith that raised them, that loved them and that nurtured them along the way. And through those connections, through those memories, through that love, they are able to take the next steps in life. And when Jesus is baptized, he does not get named, but he hears the words, "This is my son, the beloved with whom I am well pleased." This morning, we have an opportunity to remember our baptism, to touch the water, to come to the font. You're invited to play in the water as much as you'd like, You're invited to touch it to your forehead, make the sign of a cross. You're invited to kneel at the altar for prayer, to come joyfully, not because this is something that we cling to, but this is something that God gives freely. I invite you to join me in prayer as we turn on page 41 of the hymnal and pray a prayer of thanksgiving over this water as we remember our baptism and give thanks. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit and called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and us who take the opportunity to remember and give thanks. May it be a reminder that you, our God, have washed away our sin, have clothed us in righteousness, and will sustain us throughout our lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. You're invited to come, to touch the water, to pray and to give thanks because you and I are beloved children of God.